I've started a discipleship course for people that are new in the faith. And last week I had three young boys in Thursday night at 6 o'clock. So if there's any more folk that wants to, again, if you're new to the faith and you want to learn a bit, or you want to just be established in your faith, then it's an opportunity for you. I also had somebody else in Wednesday afternoon. So I'm happy to fit folk in when they need it to be fit in, because I'm so aware that over the years, both in this church and other churches that I've attended, that people come in the front door and they can go out the back door. And it is really important that people get grounded in the faith. And a lot of you is well grounded as I am. But I'm retired now, so I have a bit of time in my hands. So I want to use it just to encourage other people in their faith. So if you're interested, I think it's in the bulletin, and I think my phone number's in the bulletin, and I'll try and accommodate you the best way I can in the time that I can. Okay. This morning, basically what I would be saying is, we used to sing a song, and it said, you'll mind it, Charlie, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you've got to be the servant of all. That's how I would sum up what I've got to say today. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you've got to be the servant of all. And I would say that, right, no, I'll leave that till later. Okay. So living in a world that has such a biased and warped view on God, it's absolutely essential that we as children, and only that want to come to Him, have proper understanding of who God is. The media portrays God in such a bad way and so many times. And if it I see it, whenever somebody wants to speak a bit of sense, they get very little airtime. But Abby that wants to rabbit on about whatever their view is, gets all the time in the world. But let me say this, what people think of God doesn't change what God is. They could rabbit on as much as they like, but God, in Isaiah 45, verse 6, and I think Mildred and somebody else also referred to it in their prayer this morning, we read these words, so that all the world, from east to west, will know that there is no other God. I am the Lord, and there is no other. And we make no apologies as a church in putting that forth. We're not concerned about political correctness. We're not concerned about far we offend. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Many other religions, many other views, but as a church we stand firmly that there is one God, and God says it there, I am the Lord, and there is none other. God stands supreme. There's a lot of gods, a lot of lords, but God stands supreme above every other God, above every other Lord. He is the creator of the universe. And Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, said to Jesus, Jesus, show us the Father. Father being God, show us the Father. And Jesus says, Philip, you've been with me all this time and you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? So in order to see God, we need to look to Jesus. You want to see God, look to Jesus. Jesus is a historical fact. Many people would deny that, but it stands supreme. People can argue that he's not the Son of God. They'll have their views. But the fact remains, and it's evidence both in the Bible and otherwise, that Jesus was here. Ancient records records it. Not only that, after his death, he was seen alive by many people. And at one point, by over 500 people at one time. That's been recorded and it's been passed down the generations in the Word of God. Jesus was crucified when he was 33 years old, roughly. But this morning, I want to zoom in just a few hours of his life. The hours upon which the destiny of fallen mankind depended. And even in these hours, it's not possible to include all the events of these hours, because there was so many events. And if we were to read through the New Testament at the beginning of the Gospels, numerous times it's recorded, mind, at the marriage of Cana in Galilee, Mary comes to him and says, they've no wine. And Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. Again? And different times it's recorded, my hour has not yet come. But in John 13, verse 1, it says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave the world and return to his Father. This was it. This was what he had came to do. He had came to die for mankind. And you know, you could never get another situation to liken it. But you know, most of us in life have gone through different situations. Maybe it was a job interview. Maybe it was a disciplinary thing. Maybe it was in a hospital waiting room at a major point in life. Again, and all that you can think of is just this that's afore you. You can't think of nothing else. It just sticks up your whole mind. But Jesus was about to die, and he was going to be forsaken by his Father for the first time ever. Was he thinking about himself? No. He was thinking about those he was leaving behind. The Bible says he loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. You know, God is love, folks. The world would portray a different God. This is the Jesus we worship. This is what God we love. This is our God. A God of love, a God of compassion, a God that reaches out to men and women in all the different situations of life. And now here we have him here, and the time of his betrayal is just imminent. Just in front of him, there's suffering, there's death, there's humiliation. He'd only hours left, and his concentration wasn't on what was left for him. The Bible tells us at one point that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. He wasn't thinking in the cross at this time. He was thinking, how can I leave a lasting impression upon those that I am about to leave behind? About those that the world will turn against. As soon as it crucifies me, it'll turn against them. I need to leave them something that's going to carry them through. And so, it says, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. This is for where, remembrance table comes from. Jesus sat down with them at the table, and he says, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. It wasn't just something that they did. It was something that he had planned out well in advance. I've been very eager, he says, to eat this sacrifice with you. For I tell you, I will not eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then, as we hear many, many times on a Sunday, he took this cup of wine and gave thanks for it. He says, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took bread and gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. So we come week by week and we participate in the table of the Lord, the bread reminding us of his broken body, the juice reminding us of the blood that was shed. And I want to say to you this morning, the table of the Lord has a fourfold significance. One thing is, remember, this do, he says, in remembrance of me. Remember the sacrifice I made for you. This didn't come lightly, Jesus says. Remember us. So one thing is, remembering his suffering and his death. The next thing is, it's creating a new covenant between God and his people. In the Old Testament, if people sinned, they had to bring along sacrifices of animals that was slain, and there was a procedure that they had to go through, but it only gave them a covering for sins. It didn't forgive their sins. It only gave them a covering. But when Jesus died, his blood can wash the vilest sinner clean. It is forgiveness. It is not just a covering. It is total forgiveness. And so he says, his blood was a new covenant between God and his people. No longer would people be required to come with sacrifices in order to cover, to atone for their sins. We came the day that we simply come to Jesus and we confess our sins. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from sin and from all unrighteousness. And so the next thing is, it looks forward to the time when Jesus will return to take those who have died believing in him and those who are still alive believing in him to be forever with himself. That's another topic in itself, but that is the hope of the table. The table's not just looking back to a dead Christ. The table's also looking forward to that day. He says, do this until I come. So let me assure you folks, he is coming again. Make absolute no mistake about it. People in the world say, that, well, the kind of this has got a renewed, that's got a renewed, the next thing's got a renewed. I tell you, Jesus is coming. That's how things will be wound up. And he will take us to be forever with him in the paradise of God. Now, there's another aspect of the Lord's table, and it's a time and a place for self-examination. It says there, if you was reading in Corinthians, but we're not looking at it for the sake of time, it says, when you come to the table, let a man or a woman examine themselves, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It's a time of self-examination, a time when we look over our life. Not back to when we was 5 years old, when we get saved, our sins is gone. Danny McVicker, an evangelist for the past, used to say, when my sins was gone, God buried them in the deepest sea and he put up a sign that said, no fishing. Again? But we are responsible for the time that we are saved, and week by week, it says, let a man examine himself. If I have the new somel, Charlie, I should be mucking it right when I come to the Lord's table. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Now, a lot of folk reads it, I'm not getting brag breed today because something's wrong. It's wrong. Get the thing right and come to the Lord's table and offer your sacrifice and partake of the emblems. So it's a time for putting wrong things right. That's why we're dealt to examine ourselves. So now Jesus has sat at the table with him, and his death and his crucifixion, his betrayal is just imminent. And knowing the turmoil that would follow when he goes, he gives one last mind-blowing example of how we ought to regard and serve one another. Follow this through in your mind. Okay? You've had the Lord and his disciples around the table. I think it's a table, doesn't matter anyway. I think it's a table of course. I think it's a table set in the ground, but it doesn't matter. Again? So they're all sitting around the table and they've all partaken. And Jesus has said, he says, one of you is going to betray me. And they're all saying, is it me? Is it me? Again? So they're all sitting there. And then it says, Jesus got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel about his waist. You want to see our God? Here's our God. He wrapped a towel about his waist. And there he is, sitting with a bunch of guys that had been arguing about who was going to be the greatest. And it says he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that he had about his waist. And it says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I've just done? He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. So he says, since I am your teacher and Lord, and I have washed your feet. Now, washing feet's not a thing that we associate with here. It was a different culture. Since I have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example for you to follow. Do to others as I have done to you. Let me tell you, folks, what a wonderful world we would have. What a wonderful church we would have if we were washing each other's feet. It's a thing of the heart. Too often we're concerned for me and mine, and not about our brothers and sisters. But this is Christianity at its best. Wash one another's feet. It's a bit like love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. So how are you doing? Are you any good at feet washing? Or would you rather other folk washed yours? If we are to follow in his steps, a lot of folk says, oh, if I had a ministry of healing, or if I had a ministry of preaching, or if I had the different gifts that there is, if I had some of these ministries, boy, I would serve the Lord right. Why have I not got, why can you do Charlie and I can't? Again? So often we'll look at one another, but no. It says, what I'm saying to you this morning is this. Don't ask God for a ministry. Ask God to give a towel. Because a towel may produce a ministry, but a ministry doesn't necessarily produce a towel. And you need the towel. You know, so many ministries and so many people with great ministries, instead of serving, they've got so many, they're on a pedestal and so many people are serving them. But that's not Jesus' why. You know, I'll tell you a little story. When I was in the Philippines, Mark had been there. Mark is my son, if there's somebody who doesn't know what I'm speaking about. And he'd been a missionary in the Philippines for 12 years. And we got out there for the last weeks that he was there to help him to tie our thing up and to come back home to this country. And in the very last meeting that we went to, the place was packed of folk. And already Mark's coming away and squabbles is beginning to rise as to if I would be responsible for this and if I would be responsible for that. And you can how it is, especially you in church life, church leadership, Ken's habit, all that kind of thing. And so at the last meeting, when Mark was supposed to get up to speak, he said a few things, which I can't remember. But then he got a basin, and he got water, and he got a tool, and he could drone the leaders, tell them to take off their shoes, take off their socks, and washed their feet. And he says, I have been here and I have served you for 12 years, but I'm leaving you. What I've done to you, you do to the people. And I could tell you, I've never been in a meeting with more tears in my life. I was glad I was sitting the back, but even sitting the back, you didn't escape. And it was a humbling experience when somebody came with a basin and sat down in front of you. Folks, we need to be feet washers. So, Kevin, maybe you want to get a basin? Fast feet, you get washed. The song that I mentioned at the beginning says this: if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you've got to be the servant of all. It would be difficult to wash somebody's feet. It would be even more humbling for somebody to come and wash your feet. But I think for those of us here today, there's another why. I don't think we need to get a basin and washing another's feet. But in Matthew 25, 31, it says these words: when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. Folks, there is a separation. There is a separation. There's a difference between them that are saved and accept the Lord as your Savior and them that are nay. And let me tell you, if you're here this morning and you haven't accepted the Lord as Savior, I'll forget about anything else I've got to say if you want to come out and make yourself right with God, because he's a loving God. Again, the Bible tells us that he came to his own and they crucified him, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That's what a church exists for, to get men and women to become the sons and daughters of the living God. So he separates the sheep from the goats. He'll set the sheep in his right hand and the goats in his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. You know, folks, it really does matter how we live our lives. All the people referred to there was people in great need. And we're living in a day when round about us, in every hand, we're not needing to far away countries, although God does call folk to do that, but round about us in every hand, there are people with great needs. He says, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I was sick, I was naked, I was in prison. You cared for me. And they said, when did we do that? And he says, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these little ones, you've done it unto me. Bible tells us that sometimes you entertain strangers. At entertaining strangers, sometimes you entertain angels unawares. The religious was questioning, when did we do that? Jesus says, as much as you've done it, the least of these, you've done it unto me. But let me tell you this, we wouldn't be saved because of the acts of kindness we do. But because we're saved, we do acts of kindness. And there is a world between them. A world of difference between the two. And then he came to the goats and he said, same thing. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. And he goes through the hail list again. And he says, depart from me into everlasting darkness, but the righteous into everlasting life with him. I would say, folks, that not only do we need a servant heart to please God, we need a servant heart for those in need around us. Those that are nae saved, those that are struggling. Yon song says, the only Bible they'll ever read is what they will see in you. Let's live our lives to brighten up the darkness of people who need the Lord. The Bible tells us it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Let people see the goodness of God in our lives. The Bible says, you know, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him and live. That's our God. Lengthen out the day of grace. Lengthen the day of grace to this very present time in order that as many as possible would be saved. So my exhortation this morning is for the sake of God's children that are struggling and those who do not even yet know the Lord, let us always remember to carry in our tool bag a towel. I do not mean an actual towel, but I'm sure if I've said, you can for I mean. Let's remember the towel.
Well done, Davey. You get the worship.